Hello and welcome to Growing Up B2B. I'm Ed D'Elia, president of D'Elia Associates, the place where B2B brands go to grow. For over 60 years, and now across two generations, we've been helping B2B companies achieve next-level growth through brand distinction, quality lead generation, and sales enablement. Growing Up B2B was created for family business leaders who are passionate about growth, legacy, and making a lasting impact. Whether it's a multi-generational legacy or multiple family members working together, there's something truly magical about blending business with family. And we want to celebrate that right here on Growing Up B2B. So be sure to stick around to the end of the show and find out how you can be our next guest. Okay, let's get into it. Hello and welcome to another episode of Growing Up B2B. I'm your host, Ed D'Elia, second generation president of D'Elia Associates, the place where family B2B brands go to grow. Today, I'm joined by Cindy Hayen, CEO of Jedpool Tools and Northeastern Plastics. Cindy's story is a great example of how family businesses evolve over time. What began with her father entering the business later in life has grown into a multi-entity manufacturing operation that spans pool products, injection molding, extrusion, and a wide range of custom components across industries. Cindy and her husband stepped in to run the business in 1989 and eventually acquired it in 2005. Over the years, they expanded through acquisition, including Northeastern Plastics, and built a vertically integrated operation that balances manufacturing, importing, and direct-to-market sales. Today, the next generation is actively involved, with two of her sons working in the business across operations and sales, while Cindy continues to lead as CEO, navigating growth, complexity, and the realities of manufacturing in today's environment. Cindy, welcome to Growing Up B2B.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Great to have you with us today. So let's start with the origin story. Your father didn't actually start the business until later in life. What do you remember about the early years as he was starting up the organization?
I don't remember exactly. I remember my dad saying that the door was closed and he was upset at the company he was at. It just, they locked the doors. So, you know, I'm in college, my older sister's in college, and I just told my friend this. I remember being at a party and crying and saying, how's my dad going to do it? You know, what's he going to do? And he did it. And he and the plant manager bought the machines at auction and started their little injection molding company. And in the meantime, he sold printing. One of his friends, so who was buying printing from, started selling printing, sold Christmas trees, ironically sold swimming pools. And, you know, just whatever he could do to keep his family going. And, you know, he lost weight because they were running back, you know, doing whatever they had to do. It was just he and his, you know, then partner. Mm-hmm. And, you know, kind of getting it going. And, you know, they had some of the molds and things like that. So going out and selling and contacting the customers. So made it work. And I remember him saying to me when I was at Penn State, I took a plastics class just in honor of him. And he said, something like, I wish I could afford to have you, but, you know, we're not at that place, because it was, I think, around 82. So I was mm-hmm. in engineering at Penn State and figured, you know, he wasn't big enough to end up having us there or having me there at the time.
Right. So you really had a front row seat watching your father start from really nothing to mm-hmm. formulating the business. And it sounds like mm-hmm. he was very transparent about it. In other words, nothing was kind of hidden from view. It was all right there out in the open. What was that like to witness that?
I think watching his work ethic, you know, just not, you know, he was in his 50s and just figuring out what he had to do, what the next steps were. And then, like I said, having the extra jobs and you know, whatever it took to, mm-hmm. to get the job done. And I think, you know, I have learned that from him and my mom. You know, my mom was in the back end, and I was just trying to think about that when she started, because she was doing the bookkeeping, and I don't know if that was from day one, but you know, handled all the payroll and the manually doing all the payroll taxes. And when I finally got, I was like, Mom, we could do this in a spreadsheet, you know, this will be when I eventually, you know, got there. But yeah, she was the numbers person, and my dad was, you know, good in sales, and he did the estimating though for the jobs and things like that. So, yeah.
It's always interesting to capture the little synergies of people's journeys, because not to belabor it, but there was a Christmas tree farm in my backstory, and it was my grandmother who was the bookkeeper, who also kept the books on a general ledger, the old green
Right.
long form sheet ledgers.
Yes.
We recently moved our office, and I found one of Grandma's old ledgers, and she had such perfect penmanship. It was like, wow.
Yes, I, same with my mom. We actually have one of those green type ledgers that was just left over from when my dad, bought the things from the company, and it has our sales handwritten. It was me writing it. My dad had his own way, but for the pool side, it was like September or October of 89, and then it, the whole season. And so we framed it because it's,
That's awesome. Those things are fun to keep. And speaking of 89, that was the year you stepped in, right, to help. So I'm going to take you back to 1989 for a moment. At that point, did you see stepping in as a temporary move or something that you might ultimately build your career on? What was your mindset back then, Cindy?
I think it was more a career. I mean, I had a young daughter. I mean, Alan and I had a young daughter, but he was in electronic defense and wasn't really thrilled with his job. I think he wanted to get out of the defense industry. And so my dad knew that we were sort of looking, to get out and maybe do something on our own. I was very fortunate to be working part-time as an engineer with a remote access, believe it or not, in 1989. They had me set up with an old, like a monitor, and then I put the phone right on the charger, and you hear that noise from AOL, which wasn't around yet. But again, very fortunate that I didn't have to work full time, and I was able to get an engineering salary, part time. I went in occasionally, but so when the opportunity came up, my dad ended up buying, well, and his partner bought one of his customers, Jed Industries, I think they were called, and I think he looked for people to run it, and couldn't really find anybody maybe for the salary or whatever it was. So, my husband and I talked about it, and we did think at that point it would be, we moved from outside of Philly to my hometown. Well, we at first lived with my parents because we had just bought a home, so it was like not even 9 months. We were
Oh my
renovating it,
gosh.
and in the middle of that,
Oh my
so,
gosh.
we moved in with my parents until Alan could sort of finish the house and then, put it on the market. So, I said I was going to work part time, but my mother's version is I worked 4 days a week because she was babysitting. I thought it was less than that, but we had to set up the pool side, and I still have the index cards of creating the bills of material. And my dad said you could have any title you want because you're going to get the same pay. So I became inventory manager. So I said, okay. And it's amazing how it all fell into play. My senior year, it was my last semester. I had one class, one day of a class that was material requirements planning. And I loved that whole concept. And I thought, boy, if it wasn't my last semester, I would have taken more classes on this. It was just, I loved it. It was planning out. And then when I had my first job, in state college, I became the manager of the software that was handling the, now they call it, the ERP systems. So it was like that, but I was doing the software and organizing it and planning, and again, I loved it. And then so when I start working for my dad, my husband was more the hands-on, let's see how this vacuum goes together. And for me, it was organizing it all, putting it in, making bills of material on a index card, and keeping track of the inventory and making sure everything was right. So it was a good fit.
So, clearly, some strong organizational and operational capabilities. It sounds like we're sort of in the DNA. But interestingly, you and your husband both came from engineering backgrounds. So can you talk for a minute about how that background sort of influenced how the two of you approached to run and grow the business as you started to step into it?
Well, I think they call it, my husband calls it imaginary engineering, but it's industrial, which is a lot of the organizational, and now again they're calling it continuous improvement. And at my first job, they one of the things was total quality management, where you take a project and you look at it and you redo it. And so again, that was all in my wheelhouse from my engineering and then just the things I love to do. Like, let's see how we can make this better. So, starting from ground zero, because there was a lot of mess that we were cleaning up, going through that. And then Alan was, an electrical engineer, but was more on the project side in his first job. We both were at the same company, building projects and things like that. It was, almost more of a project manager. So, he's the big, I took a seminar on it. He's the idea man. And then I have to do all the details of the things. It's like, I forgot to do that. Okay, yes, I'll fix it. So you need both, because I'm not, I say I, probably wouldn't have invested into, manufacturing hose because I would have been scared. Where, other things with the software for ERP and things like that I would jump in, not jump in, but say we need this, we have to do that. So I think, Alan and I were a good balance as far as that goes.
So to look at the roles that you both settled into, I'm not sure if the platform you referenced was EOS, the Entrepreneurial Operating System, but it sounds like that, where there's a visionary and an integrator, where the visionary sort of has the big ideas, and the integrator is the one that says, okay, I have to make this work, or pushes back on the visionary, says that can't work right now because we've got 10 other things ahead of it. Is
Right,
that
right.
kind of how the two of you fell
It,
into step? Would you say, was that a good
yes.
characterization?
Yeah,
Okay.
and I have learned that if I am questioning something, because there were times where I thought to myself, I didn't agree with that. I didn't think that was good, and I didn't say anything. And then I'm mad at myself for saying you had doubts and you didn't say it. And but sometimes if I had doubts, it was more just how I'm not the manufacturing person. I'm not down on the floor. I can't fix it. Like, I could fix the accounting part of things. I could fix the, things like that. But when you tell me about something in manufacturing that didn't go well, I'm not the one to fix it. Now, thankfully, Alan can work with people. My one son, John, is very good with the hands-on and making things work. I always said I wasn't going to get involved in the molding, but I have been more involved with the molding and but mostly it's the scheduling part of it. I kind of laugh when the mechanics try to tell me things. I want to say, like, I don't care, just fix it and make it work. Can't know everything and I'm not going to go down and fix it. So
But having the background at least enables you to kind of operate at
yes.
their level, speak to their level, and know
Right.
if maybe they're finessing you and saying, well, it
Yeah.
can't be done. You're like, well, I know emphatically that it can be done. So
Right.
let's figure out how to do it.
Yes.
So later, and I believe Northeastern Plastics, that's injection, that's an injection molding operation, right?
Yes.
Okay.
That was how my dad and his partner started.
So at some point you had kind of acquired that as in addition to Jed Pool Tools and combined the two operations under one roof. Can you talk about that journey for a moment, and what advantage did that give you, having the two entities combined and under one operating facility?
My dad was in his 80s and he was down to 4 days a week in the custom injection molding, and we had already bought Jed, and things were really commingled, kind of crazy. And we knew if we had purchased Northeastern Plastics, like we were seasonal. We only had swimming pool accessories, so and we weren't importing that much at the time. It was mostly, manufacturing. So then we would slow down in the fall, and a lot of times we would just have temporary employees and we'd let them go at the end of the season. But my dad was more right through, even though he was down to 4 days a week. We started taking some of their employees and we were doing billing back. And when he was down to 4 days, we were gearing up. And I said to him, I need that employee that you have, that you're paying her for 5 days a week, but she's only working four. I said, I need her. So we tried to get my dad to sell us the business, and we said, we'll give you whatever you were getting before. We just knew that from a shipping standpoint, from all the things that you can consolidate together. But he didn't want to. So continued, and he was okay. But when he did pass away, we basically bought the assets. I mean, his accountant said, you're paying more than you should, and we just having two sisters, we just thought, it'll be easier. We'll just, we didn't want to be taken advantage of, but he was saying if you sold it at auction, they would never get what you're offering. But we looked at the inventory and we looked at, knowing the value of some of the things. And thankfully, we were able to keep all the employees that he had. There was one who was part-time that I was going to let go because he did some shipping and I already had a shipping department. But he said, "Would you mind if I just stayed until I got my whatever it was, maybe his social security?" All right, we'll make it work. So I said that felt good because I know for my dad, that was why he didn't want to let anybody go because it's something, our employees sometimes become like family members that we care about them. I mean, when things happen where you feel like you might lay off people who've been with you for a long time, I've cried over it because it's difficult. And
Yes,
I don't
yes.
ever want to be that company that just, throw them out to the wind. And so,
Understandable.
yeah.
So, is there still, to this day, a notable seasonality to the pool spa side of the business? Like, do you still see those
Yes.
peaks and valleys
Yeah,
happen?
definitely. Even with Northeastern Plastics, I mean, we've grown Northeastern Plastics back up. I mean, my dad had a flashlight company and or that he made flashlights for. That was like, I forget if it was 30% of his business. And then they moved someplace south and they may have started getting molding in Mexico. So, one of those things where like, how are you going to survive? But he was able to, he kept going. But I think he wasn't looking forward. He wasn't looking for new customers. When we bought it, we actually were advertising a little bit with Thomas Net. It used to be the old Thomas Registry. Just trying to get our name out there for Northeastern Plastics because, everybody can use custom injection molding if you have a part you need to be made. So, we happened to get, and I don't remember how he found us, but toy soldiers. So he helps balance us out with that. And he's really good. He knows we're seasonal. So he'll kind of slowly give us things. And, we've had a couple orders for months, some even years, where he's still working on finalizing a project. I'm going to add this, I'm going to add that. But we can mold some of the product and then have it sit there. So as machines open up, hey, that machine's open. We can make that part for Jeff and, have it sit there. But at least we're filling the machine. And then if we get busy with something else, we can throw that in. So that has helped. But even with that, it's, still very seasonal. Well, in the last quarter, we will go down to maybe a third of what we'd ship in the first quarter. So, yeah, so it's a balance. And then, unfortunately, we lost our largest swimming pool hardware chain in November. So we had to, that was when I was having the tears of what do we do now? And thankfully we're holding our own. We had to let go of one or two people, I think. One was already looking for a job, so I felt better about that. That's, made the manager's decision easier to say, okay, this person's looking for a job already. But we're back up to a second shift. We had three shifts. The third shift was really small, just more to keep the machines going and automatics and things like that. But we cut that down in the fall. Again, we slow down then, and then just built. We're building up a second shift now, with just a few operators and a mechanic to keep things going and change molds. But that was a good feeling that we can do that again.
So certainly the by bringing the two entities under one roof, it's given you a level of, I'd say, agility to expand and
Yes.
contract as
Right.
marketplace circumstances dictate. But then at the same time, I have to think about this, and I got to ask you this. So you got injection molding, you got extrusion, you got imported products, you got the seasonality surge that happens, as well as some custom manufactured parts, and in some cases across disparate industries. So while it gives you agility by having that all in, under one roof, there's also a level of, I'd have to think, operational complexity. So I got to ask you, Cindy, how do you manage all that?
Well, for as much as I cursed our the ERP system that we got in 2018, it is now helping us tremendously. There are things I still want to be able to do with it, but We have our hose department, which is one of the things I said that, Alan invested in. And that has we have been doing tremendous with that. And looking for hose leads and things like that. And but the process from upstairs is still the same. You get orders, you have forecasts, you create the jobs. It's having the technical people trained and learn how to do that. And even with the different injection molding, it's, we have someone who's, writing the procedures, documenting. So I feel like we're finally catching up with the improving us. When we first were running the business, Alan will put a sticky note on the door because he would leave after production and say, make these products. And just a few years ago, he said, because I reprimand him all the time, you can't go down and tell them. You have to give them a job. You have to give them a, a. So he said, I wish I could just put the sticky on the door again. It's like, we're way bigger than that now. You can't do that. You can't bypass the managers. They have to know what their team is doing. So, we've been slowly implementing all that and working on continuous improvement. And I think people are seeing it. They gave me a little pushback again. Right before COVID, we had training come in to do continuous improvement and the 5S, 6S, making everything nice and neat. And COVID hit. So it was like, okay, now it was just survival. And we went crazy because everybody was doing their staycation. So, we had everybody running around and we had, I think there were probably 8 or 10 employees' children that were teenagers working for us at the time. It was like whoever was available. So, I guess learning a lot with that. And I think the procedures so that, in the cross training, so that, if the hose right now is not needed, then we have automotive parts that are like a little bit of soldering and things like that. So it's, doing some videos on the training so that we can divert. The people are cross-trained. They can go from making hose to now making, another part that they may not even know what it's for. Because we have, like the here's the example here. It's I keep meaning to look, but this is one of our customers where this goes on like a pole.
Oh, that's a wire. Oh,
Yeah,
that's a
and
wire.
he said and transformers and things like that. So we make those little black parts and then they put the labels in identifying them and so again I forget how they found us but it's finding that and trying to teach the employees what they're making so that they understand you can go now looking at a telephone pole and go oh wait we might have made that.
But it sounds like these the systems that you're putting in place, the processes, the procedures, that's again, kind of elevating the level of agility that you have internally, but also, one would argue setting the stage to enable the business to further scale, because if you don't have those in place, you hit, a threshold where, okay, we can't do more than we're doing. So it's healthy, it's great, and yeah, sometimes painful. And I can only imagine what it was like putting that into place during COVID because everything was upset. But you did it and you got through it.
Yes, we
So,
did. We did.
as the company has continued to evolve, how are you now thinking about the identity of the business? Are you a pool products company? Are you a custom plastics manufacturer? Or are you something broader or different?
I guess we because our name is Jed Pool Tools, I think people still associate us with that, but we are definitely more than that, the manufacturing capabilities and trying to broaden that, with making the hose, I'm hoping that, once we get settled, that maybe we could find other, uses for the hose that somebody else like vacuum cleaners or something else that, again to like work out that seasonality of the swimming pool industry. So, manufacturing, and because of losing the hardware store, I think our distribution will go down. And we're starting to say, if we don't make it and it's, we're decreasing some of our line items in the pool industry because it's just, if we sell 20 cases, is it worth worrying about keeping them and not keeping them? And so kind of, again, just revamping it, constantly looking at ways to make us better and, sell what we do well. I know both of my sons, Rob, who's in sales, and John, who's in the manufacturing. I have an email from him and saying, we need to do what we do best. And that is true. Certain injection molding parts we can knock out all day, and we do locker handles and things like that. And it's just, again, doing what we do well. And I think that's where we're trying to work with more and improving our hose. We kind of inherited an old hose machine and got it working, and we're making hose and doing well. But then we ended up buying a new one, and we're finding that, it cranks out the hose better and faster than the old one. And so, making us more profitable, but also the quality's there. And so it's, again, the cross training, so that when you have the hose and we can keep, producing and meeting the needs for the customers. So.
And when you produce a product like that, a lot of people don't realize how many different, not just in the water themed application, but building products applications, a greater marine industry. Consumer products, there's industrial products, processing systems. Hose is used, extensively across multiple industries. So having that capability and elevating that capability probably will serve you well in the years to come, I would think. So we mentioned Alan a few times, your husband. And before coming on the show, you referenced that he's, deeply involved, but also trying to start to step back a little bit. So talk about that, Cindy, if you would. You've learned certainly about succession across generations, but now, when you're running the company, he's looking to step back. What has that chapter been like for you, for the two of you, and how is that going?
I guess there's always a plan, right? Alan had left the company, family business issues, so he had left the company and had started a sales company with he had a partner in the swimming pool industry. So he was selling our product, ironically, and then chemicals and spas and things like that. So, he was building that business up, and we decided to buy it at the same time, around the same time. And so that's, I became the president and CEO, and he was working part-time. Then, as the independent sales reps went down, he got back in. And I didn't know much about molding, but my, there, Alan knew stuff, and there were people that knew, there were longtime employees who knew the molding part of it. So, unfortunately, more than 12 years ago, Alan was diagnosed with stage four lung cancer. He's doing fine, never smoked, but I think he then was concerned about now what's going to happen. And because he did the sales part of it, our son Rob was graduating college in a marketing type sales degree and asked him to come. And I think because his fear was, we had no idea how long he would be here. And so Rob started in sales, with that. And then now it's, I mean, we're both going to be 64, but he's been saying for years, I want to get out, I want to get out. And I'd say, well, you need to get out. And who am I going to delegate to? And I said, you give it to me and I'll give it to somebody else. But I will say, the last 6 months, year, he has been, maybe more than that, he's been backing away. And giving, here, somebody else can have that. Because some of it with our, the MRP, the ERP system, it's, I can create the purchase orders and, have now I have an inventory person who isn't as busy because of losing that. She's stepping up and doing it. And our internal salesperson, mostly for Northeastern Plastics, Alan has been teaching him probably for a couple of years how to do the estimating. And now we joke that the ERP system, if we have everything in it, can tell you what it's going to cost, not the setup. So you have to add the setup, but we know how many hours it takes. We know the material, we know the packaging. And as long as everything's running well, your cost is 5 cents for that part. And then you add in your setup, which again, it's so he knows that some of what he had been doing can go away if we use the system. And I still, even though he's working part-time, I call him with questions because he has the knowledge. And he does most of the ordering from China. Again, it'll be less than it was. And I said to him yesterday, are you still okay with doing that? I said, we'll take away, because he said you could take away the corrugated boxes. I don't need to do that. I mean, it's not that you could still go out and get quotes, and that's what I'm having the one woman do. She's got more time than me right now, so she'll go get the quotes. She's better at haggling than me. I'm not a good haggler because, especially if it's a small business, I'm like, I hate to do that. But she did it, and she got him down a little bit. And I did throw it out there today because I don't know them. It was easier. It was a 48% increase, so that was a big deal.
You're
I
giving him the
think
runway to step back
yes.
more and step back more. And it sounds like you have a very healthy relationship in terms of how the two of you communicate, which is critical,
Yes,
and which has kept
yes.
you together in business all these years, because
Right.
if you weren't such an
Well,
effective team, you wouldn't be. But that's also the hard part, right? Is
yeah.
unhinging that team. And it's always a scary but very hard reality when a major health incident shows up,
Right. Right. It, I think in the end too, it forced, I mean, I was always about cross training on the floor with the operators and things like that. But it also, reminded me that what Alan is doing, somebody needs how to know how to do. And then just because I say I don't want to retire doesn't mean that, if I got sick or really wanted to take a full vacation, someone else needs to know what I do. So something simple like doing wire transfers for the bank, I was the only one who could do it. And then I wrote the procedure, and then I had Alan do it, and now he does them sometimes too. Because again, it's something where, as a business owner, we don't want seven people in the company making wire transfers of, $50,000 to China. But having a check where, okay, you can put it in, I'll approve it, or I put it in, you approve it, or, both of us knowing that we're not going to, we're not stealing from each other. But having the procedures in place so that if, something happened to me that was like quick, it's like, okay, somebody else needs to know how to do this. And
100%.
so,
Yeah.
yeah.
Good. 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 And let's talk for a moment about your two sons are now in the business. As you look at their journey, albeit not as long as the journey that you and Alan have been on. What surprised you most about how they've stepped into their respective roles? I believe one is more of an operations-oriented individual, the other is a bit more sales-oriented. So talk about them for a moment.
I think both of them recently have gained an appreciation for, what we do and what it is about being in a company. The one who's in operations, John, he quit a couple times saying, almost like we don't know what we're doing. And I have said to him, your grandfather and your dad and I must be doing something right. The business dad, Papa started it in 82, and we took over in 2005 and then 2012, and here we are. And thankfully we have a beach house that you enjoy all the time and a beautiful home with the big pool that we invite you to with, so it's like we're doing something right. So appreciate the fact that when we're saying, you have to get it done, it's because you have to get it done. And, realizing that, yes, some days you're going to work really long hours, but then, I go visit his son a couple hours to give his wife a break. And I do it in the middle of the day because I can work later and catch up with some of the things and the planning and
Sure.
stuff like that. And I feel like both of them, maybe because they have families now, have learned to appreciate that, you have to put the time in. Rob has a wonderful personality, and the customers love him. I mean, now Alan goes to the show and they're saying, "Where's Rob? Where's How come Rob's not here?" But
That's critical, though. That's an important
yes.
transition, is to start to let the industry see the new faces of the
Right.
company and respect them in their own right. And it's amazing how suddenly becoming a parent shifts a lot of
Yeah.
perspectives, especially you're now accountable to not just an individual but a family,
Right. Right.
and that's a bit of a game changer. So glad to see that they're recognizing that and recognizing what they're stepping into. And speaking of that, as you look at their paths, what do you think they're going to need to challenge in order for the business, or the two businesses, I should say, to continue to evolve in the years ahead?
I think I think John needs a little bit more managerial skills. He was by someone down on the floor. He has the most technical knowledge. So he was put as the manager of the mechanics, but he has no manager training. So like doing the reviews, I said, John, did you do so-and-so's review? And he said, well, what's the point if I just say the same thing over? And I said, John, it's coaching him. And he happens to need to be boosted up. So I said, if you give him, he gave him a 2 for attitude, but I knew that he didn't mean he has a bad attitude. He meant he needed to be more positive and needs to think positive. And I said, you have to sit and discuss that with him. So my HR person and I went down with John and the employee, and I'm reading the things to him. And I said, look, you got 3s, 4s, and 5s on your review. I said, now, when it came to attitude, what John meant was not you have a bad attitude. We want you to believe in yourself. We want you to speak up for yourself. I said, so, we can give you tools to do that. But, and John has one more to do, and it's still, he's kind of hesitating. I'm saying we need to revise the job description and then take the job description of what he's doing now and then do the review and say, okay, next year this will be done. And I think sometimes the urgency with John too is, John, where's the wheel that we need to make those armored cars? Oh yeah, I have to get to it. And it's like teaching him how to, create a list for himself or, some of those tools. My thing is, who will do what I do? Because I mean, John has that part of it. Rob has taken the sales, and he's offered to do the ordering from China. But I think Alan feels he still wants to do that. He's okay with doing that. He can go to the shore and do that.
So it
But
sounds like they have the foundational aptitude and
yeah.
ability. And it's just now it's a matter of as you said, so any kind of training them up and
Right.
reminding them that there's a reason why professional athletes go out and practice,
Right.
5 days before the game,
Yes.
because
Yes.
coaching doesn't mean saying it once. Coaching means saying it
Right.
and reaffirming it and saying it again and reaffirming it,
Yes.
being patient and reaffirming it and saying it 5 different ways until it sticks.
And I saw something during the March Madness where a coach was, scream. It looks like screaming at a female athlete, or, on her team. And afterwards, the basketball player saying she knows I like to be coached hard and I needed it at that moment. So again, it's like that's what I said to John is knowing who,
Knowing your
what coaching
players.
method works.
Yeah, that's a great point. That's
So
a great point. 100%.
yeah.
So as you look now, through your lens, 5 years out, maybe even 10 years out, talk about what does success look like for both companies, Cindy? Is it growth? Is it simplification? Is it more brand clarity? Or is it something altogether different?
I think the simplification, in the sense of more like the streamlining, which is, what we're working on is, just they were saying they wanted a barrel for purging, and it's such a simple thing. It's like, so where that is and a place for the brooms. And so that, which will allow us to say, okay, where can we do better and what can we do? And then, seeing where, like I said, doing what we do well, and if it's the hose area, if it's in, upgrading things, because, there's so much that can be done with injection molding. But one of our little niches is that, somebody might want 500 of something. The setup, could take that long, but those are the items that they're not going to go, they can't go to China for because it would cost them a fortune. So, we do little color chips, and that's going to run for, I think, 12 different shifts. But again, it's like, okay, we just ran it 2 months ago, but now they need more color chips and they want different labels on them. So, those things, if we can keep finding ways to improve and then finding more customers for things like that. So,
Excellent.
yeah,
Excellent.
I think that's it.
Cool. And it sounds like a full transition and succession down the road as well.
Right.
As the boys
My
continue
one
to
son
evolve.
who has an MBA, who's not in the company, he lives in Brooklyn now and just bought a house in Kingston, New York. So I don't think he has any intentions on coming back. He would be the one to probably do more of what I do, checking the financials and okay, let me see, we're here. And just kind of ironic. I took one I took accounting in college and I loved it. And I was struggling with my engineering classes the first couple of years, or the math classes, not even engineering. And I told my dad I wanted to switch to accounting. And he said, "That's for bean counters. You can't." So I thank him for pushing me a little bit and still love the accounting part, though. Not probably the detail of a tax accountant, but what I do, I love. So.
And you could tell your other son with the MBA. Listen, we didn't even get to move into our darn house that we bought, before we moved into the
Right.
company. So don't worry about the
Right.
house. That'll get sorted.
Yeah, and who knows, he may like just like we did, have a baby and go, "Hey, maybe we'll move back and have some babysitters that,
Why not? Why
you know."
not?
Right.
That's
Right.
awesome. So, last question. If any of our listeners wanted to connect with you or learn more about Jedpool Tools or Northeastern Plastics, what's the best way for them to reach out?
Well, we just upgraded our Jed website, so that's jedpooltools.com. And we're in the process of doing Northeastern Plastics to show more of the capabilities. I think it still has our old place in Scranton, and that's northeastern-plastics.com.
Got
You
it.
can always call us at the, well, there's a couple numbers, but the 570-344-4137. That'll reach both companies. We do have the one that's specifically for Northeastern Plastics, but we're
Cool.
all the same team, so
Got it. Got it. Nice. Well, family manufacturing businesses, they certainly don't grow by accident. They grow through persistence, adaptability, and a willingness to take on whatever the moment demands. Cindy's story is certainly a reminder that building something lasting often means evolving the business while staying grounded in the values that built it in the first place. So, Cindy, thank you so much for sharing your journey and the perspective you've gained along the way. Again, we've been speaking with Cindy Hayen, CEO of Jedpool Tools and Northeastern Plastics, and I'm your host, Ed D'Elia, and this has been another episode of Growing Up B2B. Thanks so much for joining us, and we'll see you next time. Cindy, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Hey, thanks so much for tuning into Growing Up B2B. To explore more episodes and insights, visit podcast.deleanet.com. And if you've enjoyed this episode, please give us a rating or review on your podcast platform of choice. Having worked with hundreds of family-led businesses across my career, and being a second-generation leader myself, I'm on a mission to help every family business I meet achieve next-level growth for their organization. So feel free also to connect with me on LinkedIn and let's support each other. You can also find out more about my company at deleanet.com. Again, I'm your host, Ed D'Elia, and thanks so much for joining us today. Take care.